This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly. What you're about to hear is a conversation Ali Shaheed Muhammad and I had with Father on stage in Atlanta last month. It's shorter than we usually do. Father was kind of the opener at our live interview with Organized Noise that night. You can watch video of both at NPR Music and on YouTube.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time.
Of course, of course. I don't have anything else to do today, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. You got options. I know you finished a video today, right?
Last night.
Oh, okay. For which song?
Who's going to get effed first?
You can curse on our show. It's okay.
Who's going to get fucked first? The the intro to my album.
Ali has some questions about that song.
Yeah, yeah. What's up?
Just why? Where'd that come from? Say why? Where did that song come from, man?
The inspiration for that song?
Yes.
Pretty much, I guess, around the time that everything kind of got popping for me and my whole side of things, my initial thought was like, this is all nice and all, but who's going to get screwed over first? Like, you know, there's always a down, you know, for like when you're going up, there's always like a downfall at some point for somebody. Mm-hmm. So it was like, who's it going to happen to first?
Has anything happened pertaining to the record industry that's given you that feeling like I'm going to be the one bent over?
No.
Well, I have been.
I mean, I've seen it. I've witnessed it happen. There's a lot of people that are just, you know, are upset with, you know, the way their lives worked out. And there's people that, you know, if you took the path that was right for you, you should be happy. You know, like I took a route where I just wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel and perform, and I'm happy with that route. You know, some people wanted to work faster, sign to a major, and then took that way out. Others, they want to write for Rihanna. They don't want the fame.
Hush, little shorty, don't say a word. Father's gonna buy you a fat sack of herb. And if that fat sack of herb don't smoke, I'ma rob my plug and take all of his dope. Yeah, smoke the pills to coke, youth and revolt. Stuff you use to cope, just hand me the rope. Cause I'm stressed and depressed, dressed in distress. All black, cause I ain't got time to match. Who's gonna get fucked first?
I deserve the baddest, bitch. Baby, I'm just trying to chill.
Who's
gonna
get fucked first?
Now, is she pretty or is she just like?
Who's gonna get fucked first?
Come let me fold you up. What you know about origami?
You know, worked out for me.
Yeah, you talked before about musicians needing to know their worth. Speaking of Rihanna.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's actually a Drake quote. But why do people not understand how to monetize their product or their creativity? Like, where is the missing link in the knowledge?
I don't know when that began, where it became a thing, where people just assumed that you had no supporters. Right. Like, because honestly, like I would not have been able to jump from having a regular job to just selling music had I not actually sold the music. But a lot of people believe it's like you give it away for free and then you travel and that's how you make your money. When in fact, if you just sell it like any other item on a market, it will sell because people love to support.
But you give it away for free also.
Yeah, you know, I give some away for free and then, you know, I sell some of it. It all depends, you know. Like I do like to like give. I like to give as well.
How do you decide what's free and what you charge for?
Typically, free things, they tend to just offset. It'll be something random that I'm just like, I'm in a certain kind of mood. Like, here, throw that out there. Enjoy. Just let me take it in. Let me know how you feel about it. It's not part of any big particular grand scheme or anything like that. So I just give it out for free. Usually I do like the first 100 downloads are free, and then after that it disappears.
Right. You talked about the Netflix model, I guess.
Yeah. Netflix really is what kind of gave me the whole model for how I release music now.
The honestly. Way that we binge consume things.
Yeah, like just like you want it then and now. Like it's like Netflix really was just like, what, Blockbuster? Huh? No, none of that. No, here, it's everything's here at one time. get it how you want it, whenever, subscribe, and then it's always there.
Is that how you listen?
That's also how I listen.
Okay. What do you listen to?
Me, personally, some Future as of late. You know, a little bit of Bossa Nova, you know. I like to jam, you know, jam out a little bit. I don't, you know, when I'm at the house, I don't like listening to a lot of turnt music too much. I like to cool out, or I'm listening to myself to get better, personally.
Do you do a lot of streaming, or are you purchasing?
I purchase and I stream.
Yeah. What are you doing more of? Just curious.
I'm on SoundCloud a lot, so I guess I do more streaming. But if an album is released and I want it, I go and purchase it. That's been me post putting out music for sale myself, though. Like, before I was releasing my own music and selling it, I was not buying music. But something about actually being able to buy music does feel good. Like, supporting somebody is like, I don't know. Tyler, the Creator's album dropped, and I was like, I'm going to go buy that. I want that in my iTunes, like, officially. I don't want it to be like some pirated copy that I took off Pirate Bay. Like, I just genuinely wanted to have it.
So, back to who's going to get fucked first.
Right.
But it's a double entendre, right? Because right. I don't think that's what people are assuming. And in some ways, it's a play for, like, a single, the singles market, right?
Right.
How much of that is totally deliberate, and how much of it is, like, it'll work?
Depends on what you mean by that question, though.
I guess I mean, you know, you make something, you're like, that's going to sell.
Right.
Is it, how much of it is intentionally provocative?
Not very much of it is that's me, honestly, on a day-to-day basis. Like, if you were to hang around me all day, you'd be like, this is a very profane person, and his friend, something is wrong with him and his friends. Honestly, like, if somebody was to keep a camera on us 24/7, they'd be like, y'all need to be in a mental hospital being watched over. But it's, you know, it doesn't go outside the house, because, you know, everybody knows how to act outside of, you know, their friends. But, you know, you become comfortable in your circle of friends, so you know what to say to who, you know.
Until you make a record, though. Yeah. You say, yeah, it doesn't come outside the house.
Yeah, well, your own record is a little different. The record is just like, that's like a small insight into my mind, into all of our minds, really.
Right, so how much of the true you is it out in your songs?
A lot of it. A lot of it is, it's encoded, like my personal relationships with people around me, friends, girls, it's all in there. The truth is all there. The people that I'm talking about know that I'm talking about them when they hear it. Otherwise, to the average person, it might just sound like a very sweet lyric that you just heard. But to the person it's directed at, they might take it as like, oh, this is you saying some spiteful, hateful shit to me. Yeah. But otherwise, it'll sound like, you know, on record, it sounds, oh, it's beautiful, Boricua, Morena. But then, like, what, nigga? Boricua, Morena. I'm a white girl. What are you talking about? You know.
Yeah. Are you messing with people?
In my music? A little bit. I think we all do. I've listened to a, like, even like a lot of other members on Awful Records. I generally can hear when they're talking about another member on the team. Like, I can hear like when Archie says something negative about somebody that owes him some money, because a lot of friends owe him some money. So he'll just say one funny joke inside of like one of his lyrics, and it's just like, oh, I know who you're talking about right now. So
what's the access point then for people who don't know you guys?
An access point?
Yeah, I mean, you have a following. You have a power. People relate to you. Do you have any sense of like how people hear your music, and then connect with you as a person?
No, I've never really thought about it that deep. I just put it out there, and I've never really thought about whether or not people will connect with it at all, if anything. I mean, I'm just hoping that it thumps enough, and my flow sounds nice, and like my cadence and the way my wordplay is, That's mostly what I'm concentrated on. I don't really think about the content and how it strikes anyone else, if you can relate to it or not. I just know it's my personal story.
So when you're at your house listening to yourself, trying to get better, like what's bad and what's good?
Generally, I just want it to sound bigger. Just more like, because, you know, a lot of people, like, they're like, oh, I want to sound as underground as possible. I want to keep it underground, keep it grimy, keep it dirty. I've actually been striving to clean up my music and make it more worldly, like more open for more ears, but still keep it very much me. You know, still keep it that, like, that raw sound, but still, it just sounds like someone in the Netherlands could hear it and it'd be like, this is beautiful. You know.
Can you explain some of your production process?
It's very simple, generally, 15 minutes, like at most. I don't have any instruments. I work from a laptop. I use the QWERTY keyboard and use them as like bass line. Okay. A pad followed by a snare, a kick, hi-hats. It's usually very simple. Sometimes I mix it up, do different things. Mm-hmm. I like to layer my voice in different ways. It all depends on the song. But for the most part, my process is very straightforward and to the point. I don't overthink it ever.
Will it change if you get in a studio for a significant period of time?
Anytime I'm in a studio, it does sound different. Like, you can tell it sounds different. It sounds like there was another engineer sitting there putting it together. I'm in a booth rapping. I feel the difference.
There's a separation.
There's a separation. Like, usually if I'm sitting at my own desk chopping and cutting and fixing things as I'm doing it, like, it comes off sounding so much more fluid and creative and bouncier. It's just completely different. That's why I usually don't like working in studios. I turn down studio sessions when people ask me to come through.
Yeah, I think that's like the clearest quality of your music to me is the immediacy, both right. In like the emotions, like the way the slang, like I heard it for the first time 2 days ago and it's in your song right. 3 days after that.
Right.
Do you ever worry, and I'm not trying to put anything on you.
Oh, yeah, no.
About disposability.
How quickly I can be just cast aside and then just
if your work is so tied to the right now, how will it be? How will we hear it 3 years from now?
Oh, okay, I feel you. How will it be played?
Yeah.
I never really thought about it that way. I just continue to strive and work forward, always moving forward, just working on the next thing. I'm hoping no one ever gets tired of anything old, because I haven't gotten tired of any of my old stuff yet, you know, besides a song here and there that everybody knows.
Which one? Okay.
Everybody knows which one. The one I got to do the most, but for the most part, I enjoy my oldest songs more than I enjoy my newest songs. I thought I was a better performer, rapper, producer back then. So I've been kind of trying to recreate that feeling again of where, like, I really enjoyed myself. Yeah. So I'm not really concerned with falling off. That's what people ask me, that, like, are you afraid of falling off? I'm just like, I'm not really on yet to be falling off, you know?
It's not, yeah, you're fine. It's not even about falling off. It's just about how these things that, like, what is ephemera and what is, like, going to be useful and, like, serviceable going right. forward. And I mean, I think maybe it's your entire body of work.
Right. That's basically what I've been doing this entire time. I never wanted to just take off of the strength of one song. I always wanted there to be a body there for you to be like, oh, okay, I've taken notice of you now. Now I can sit there and go back through 5 albums to really see if you are worth something. You know, I really don't understand anybody that just takes off of one song and then there's no back catalog.
Well, yeah, I think it's nice to also reward people's time with you.
Right.
It's like, the deep dive is a big payoff, that type of thing.
Right. Whatever y'all want to know, I'm an open book.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking this time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is really cool. This is the first time I've done something like this.